Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Quite right too, whether you're listening to this live on the third Wednesday of the month, or indeed whether you're simply actually tuning in via podcast or at another pre-recorded routine. Inspired on Air is back with us, and back with us we have the legendary Julie Ellaby. How are you, Julie?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent, of course, from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Not as totally dedicated to Lincoln Performing Arts Centre this episode as previous ones, but still pretty dedicated in terms of some of the fantastic things that are coming through there, because it's all one umbrella, one universe, one fantastic cosmos of stuff that's coming on, as we'll be talking through that. We've also got the fantastically legendary Michael Blackburn back with us. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine, thanks, Alex. And even better for being here again today.
And you've even got a poet, which I thought you might have been inspired by Julie, but as you haven't met Julie before, obviously that's not been the case.
I could retitle it, but it would sound very strange.
I'll have to hear it first and then decide if it's a good idea.
And also making her debut on the production, intern extraordinaire, that would be Georgina. Georgina, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. Specialising in dance, I believe.
Yeah.
Very good. Sarah Bullimore will be very pleased with that and impressed. On the show today, we're going to be focusing on the excitement that will be Telefantasy and Society on May the 6th this year at the Engine Shed. And, of course, Michael's part of that. We'll be speaking to John Jarrold, who's a science fiction literary agent. Is that his official title? He used to be a publisher, didn't he, Michael?
I think, yes. He was involved in publishing in London, some of the big publishers, and then he went freelance as an agent. So his main area is science fiction, science fantasy, so it's something which he knows a great deal about.
Exactly so. And, of course, children's author Addy Farmer will also be joining us in the final part of the programme. But let's jump straight into the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, and why not indeed? Let's land there, because I can't believe we've already passed through some classic scenarios. We had intended to be covering Major Tom. Tragically, we didn't, but that was a huge success, I no doubt. How was the doggy?
Fantastic. We loved Major Tom. It was really wonderful to have such a different performance come to us. And Major, who is an absolute troop of a dog and has the most wonderful comic timing of any animal ever seen on stage, he came and joined in on the post-show Q&A session in the cafe bar. And he just... Oh, just brilliant. He just sat there and just...
Presumably Major's case, a kind of cue and woof song. Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've never seen a dog so relaxed, so lethargic, and just so comfortable being on stage in front of an auditorium of people. It was, lovely. Really good fun.
Adds to the whole system. Georgina, were you there? Did you see Major Tom before?
No, I didn't.
No, so when did you actually join the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre's scenario then?
With marketing last week. First day was Friday. So.
And already you've bravely entered the world of Siren 107.3 FM and indeed the Inspired on Air show. It's fantastic stuff. But let's look ahead very briefly, Julie, because lots of exciting things coming up, including Sarah Pascoe versus History, which is part of LPAC Producers sequence, defined by the Times as an exhilarating, deeply satisfying show on Wednesday, 11th of March. In fact, a week before then, on the Midweek Drive, Sarah Pascoe will be making her show debut for the Midweek Drive. So it'll look ahead to that exciting thing. So good news there for Sarah.
Yeah, we're really excited to have Sarah Pascoe coming to us. She is everywhere at the moment. I don't think there's a show on TV that I haven't seen her on. So quiz comms, panel shows, Alan Davis's new piece. I saw her on that the other week, As of Yet Untitled, is... the sort of name of his show.
It is As of Yet Untitled.
Yeah, it is As of Yet Untitled.
That's the way forward. Exactly.
So she's on there, seen on other things. So she's just really hot at the moment. She's definitely somebody to...
And that's why the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre is actually so, because you only have hot, sizzlingly wonderful acts at that point of view.
That's right. And it's wonderful that we're having her come to us, especially given that it is our LPAC producers who are our young people that we're working with, nurturing to bring them into... the arts sector with their future careers. They programmed her in as part of our professional programme events this season. So we're really pleased that we're working with them to promote this show.
If you're wondering where our very own Sarah Bullimore is, she's on the beach at Blackpool. Well, I say on the beach, I don't know, but she's
Is it warm enough for that?
Oh, she's a brave heart. She's a brave soul. She's dancing. I mean, Lincoln Dancers will be coming out later in the year, so great news from that point of view. Michael, this show, Sarah Basco versus History, a show which contains wars, witches, Kim Jong-il, and your ex. It sounds inspirational to me.
Yes, it sounds like a kind of collision between sort of horrible histories and modern comedy. It sounds really fascinating, actually, how to get all these things across to people.
And my own little favourite, which I'm looking forward to as well as Sarah Pascoe, of course, Sam Halmarach and the Miserableites. Not a pop concert, in case people are thinking it's a pop concert. It's not quite, is it?
It's framed as one. It's a wonderful concept, really interesting. If you're looking to try something a bit different, definitely come along and see this show. So it is sort of structured as, and you're almost led to believe that that's what you're coming to, which is a pop concert. However, it does very quickly transpire that it is a theatrical performance. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of interaction expected from the audience in that as well. And it's hilarious. It's really good fun. I think it'll talk to people.
As you rightly pointed out, Julie, we are now approximately entering, in fact, we may have entered the year of the ram, sheep, goat. Anyway, it's Chinese New Year very soon.
So tomorrow, yeah, tomorrow.
Ni hao to any Chinese listeners who might be sort of tuned in and say, oh, Lincoln Fulby Arts Centre. Why not, indeed? You know, some of the students would benefit immeasurably from actually seeing Fascinating Aida, Charm Offensive. I'd like to see that. Fascinating Aida meets the Chinese on the 1st of March, St. David's Day. Got to be a classic.
That'd be lovely. That's only if you have tickets booked already, though, because Fascinating Aida...
It's a sellout
sure. show. They're so popular, and they come to us almost every season, I think, recently. Mm. We have them coming quite regularly, and they always sell out. They're just such a wonderful, wonderful group.
Dilly Keen and Lisa or Liza and Adele, fantastic mm-hmm. sales, really. Bouncers, that's going well, presumably.
I was going to mention that. If you are disappointed that you haven't got tickets for Fascinating Aida and you still want to just have a really good night out, then Bouncers I can definitely recommend. It's a classic. It's John Godber. It's something that people are quite familiar with. It's just a good fun, good giggle.
Makes perfect sense. I bet Georgina didn't realise there's so much in this particular
I didn't actually.
Does she get a discount, Julie, at all these kind of things?
Oh, we have to discuss these sort of things. No, she does actually, yeah. So Georgina's with us on a work placement as part of her placement module on her course. So she'll be getting to see as many shows as you can, I suppose, really. You get the most out of experience.
And would you like to promote the course? Which course are you actually doing?
Yeah, I'm studying dance at the minute. I'm in my second year. It's going really well.
So you're one of those very energetic people who I see occasionally when I do a teaching session in the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and it looks so well. There's a lot of activity going on there.
Yeah, I try to be.
Excellent. Leotards. Yeah. I don't really suit one myself. It's another thought. Michael, Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, it's one of our jewels in the crown as far as...
It is. I think it's fantastic that the university has a dedicated performance space that's so big and extensive, but also that puts on so much
quality, I think.
So much quality and variety as well. Mm. I think that's what's so kind of impressive about it. Because I took my eldest grandson to see a performance just last year, which was really good. And, you know, we'll be thinking about going on, educating him in some of the arts over the next couple of years as well.
You can never start too soon. Julie, her daughter was sort of already doing photo shoots by the time she was 6 months old. Wonderful.
Yeah, she's in this brochure.
He's in the brochure. So there we are. It's just the qualities there. Coming up, John Jarrold will be talking about Matters SF and more to take us around to that. Sam Stone's daughter. Oh, an interesting connection there. Sam Stone will be in Lincoln herself, actually, at Jill Hart's Linden Book shortly. Sam Stone's daughter actually wrote a tune called Silver, in which she confesses all that effectively she's in love with a robot.
Silver, your open eyes and hair. I see a went like this. Welcome in the summer of her grin. Her adoration rain soaks into my gleaming skin. Our life chapter at an end, but I know you can fend when I'm scrapped by them.
Feature Lindsay Gold's incarnation of Tilney in the latter part of the programme, based, of course, on the Northanger Abbey tale. Yeah, very literary. As you'd expect, really, when you are Sam Stone's daughter. Sam, of course, who has written a whole heap of other goodies, including the steampunk classic Cat on a Hot Tin Airship and much more. Recently in Los Angeles in Gallifrey, and also appearing on one of our colleagues there, Chilpack Hollywood Hours, a piece with Phil Leonis and Dean Hagland. That's almost as exciting as being able to actually share the stage with John Jarrold, isn't it, John?
Hello, Alex. Good to be here.
As ever, a delight to touch base with good self. Now, as Michael Blackburn has just uttered those words, so has he moved down and left the area to civilise the folk in London? I think I added the sort of civilisation of southern climes. You're kind of not necessarily based in Lincolnshire these days, or are you?
No, I moved on the 11th of December to Rye in East Sussex.
So you see, Michael, when you need John to come in now, the expenses are going to be rocketing up, because there'll be the helicopter ride, there'll be the limousine, it'll be all sorts of things.
Oh, I think we can cope with that, and the special yacht and everything else, yes.
It's a rider's duty, you see, that's the thing. Sometimes you must find Julie Ellaby at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Occasional riders come through, and John Jarrold, known throughout the world, he's got to have a couple of riders on the whole thing. Only kidding, John.
It's no problem.
Because you're actually joining us today to talk very much about the exciting thing that's taking place on May the 6th this year. And
yes,
actually, hopefully, Lincoln Performing Arts Centre will be part of this and promoting things, etc. Because just as Lincoln Inspired is pushing very heavily for pop-up events this year, we have got an event which is Telefantasy and Society. John, would you like to share a few more words of wisdom about Telefantasy and Society with your good self, with Professor Richard Hand from the University of Glamorgan, with of course Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore and Jamie Anderson, a son of course of Gerry Anderson, of whom you actually commissioned the official biography a wee while back?
Yeah, I mean, when I was at Random House, I was the science fiction publisher at Random House in the 90s, and we worked with Stan Nichols and with Gerry with the official autobiography, and it was huge fun to work on. As a child of the 50s and 60s, I grew up watching Gerry's TV programs, and I think the connection between television and SF and fantasy and society is very strong. A lot of people who say they don't read SF and fantasy actually watch it on a regular basis on TV without thinking specifically, ooh, I'm watching science fiction.
Earlier today, we launched the official Facebook page. You can see it there, wheeling it around so Julie can actually see it. There we are. University of Telefantasy and Society with, of course, the classic. I'm sure, would you like to describe what you're seeing there, Michael, in terms of that's going to be inspiring poetry?
This is where I completely forget what I'm talking about.
It's
Thunderbirds 2.
Yes.
It's a fantastic model with the what's the yellow thing?
Thunderbird 4.
Thunderbird 4 coming
four
out of it, yes.
Exactly.
I'm terribly tempted to start doing things as if I'm one of the puppets, which would be rather stupid because it's radio.
I don't know.
Thunderbirds are go, definitely, as is Lincoln Inspired.
Precisely. And and Telefantasy and Society, a one-day symposium, which is featuring a whole heap of other goodies there. And so it's just launched today. And already 39 good souls have effectively sort of said, yes, we like that. Which is good news, isn't it, John?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's wonderful looking at Richard's piece about horror adaptation in American television, which is, again, fascinating. And anybody who is interested in that should have a look at Stephen King's book, Ars Macabre, a non-fiction book about the history of horror in film, TV, radio, and literature. It's like a 500-page fanzine article. It's deeply funny and very wonderful.
We see it in many ways in the structure of the day, and Julie will sort of attest to using her kind of performing arts hat here as to whether this is viable, because it's obviously on the other side. Is it on the other side of the tracks from Lincoln Performing Arts Centre? You know, it is. We're on the side. Where, exactly. We're Engine Shed, Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Yes, exactly. Sorry, I was getting my campus geographical things mixed up then, very confused. From that point of view, it's From Darkness Into Light. Richard Hand takes us through the sort of the horror of the morning, and then we sort of finish with the light of the end of the day with Gerry Anderson sort of leading us into a brave new dawn. At least that's the strategy that we're looking on, John. And obviously he'll be part of that whole sequence, together with the editor of SFX magazine, Richard Edwards, and of course Ed Fortune from Starburst Publications, the actor and writer Shane Rimmer, voice of Scott Tracy. Probably some Daleks and a whole heap of other goodies as well with that. Plus of course Sam Stone, David Howe as well. It's going to be an exciting day, isn't it, David? I say David, sorry, for a moment there. I was confusing David Howe with John Gerrold. How easily
absolutely, it's going to be quite fascinating. David and I have known each other for 25 years, so no problem.
Yeah, exactly. But they're not identical twins, you know.
This is true.
That's right. Plus, of course, as I say, David is marrying Sam Stone back end of the year, curiously at a time when there's also a Doctor Who convention on, although they're not marrying at the convention. So, life continues. John, would you like to find out what you're missing or why perhaps the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre is continuing to grow from strength to strength? So far, we've already talked about Sarah Pascoe versus history. The charm offensive that is Fascinating Aida, sold out. Bouncers just about going. Maybe the very worst of the Tiger Lilies, which looks pretty horrific, it has to be said, Julie, might be of interest to John Gerrold.
Horrific, that's one word for it. It's different. And I think, I mean, like you said, people who are into steampunk, sci-fi, that sort of thing will probably find this really interesting. I mean, if you look at the image on the event itself, which you can find on our website or in our brochure, they're all kind of dressed in a rather macabre fashion. So it's a kind of alternative cabaret sort of show that we do. So it's very dark and deviant theatrics.
To quote from the trailer here, the Grammy-nominated Goodfellas or Godfathers of Alternative Cabaret are back on tour with a show celebrating 25 years of dark and deviant theatrics.
I think that sums them up very well, yeah.
Well, there we are. Dark and deviant theatrics. Works for me every time. I mean, what perfect way to actually pave the way. I mean, March is just so big. It's so huge in terms of, obviously, not just 31 days in the month, but, you know, what you've packed into the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, because you've also got the Reduced Shakespeare Company and the Complete History of Comedy, brackets abridged.
Yes, we have. You're right. It's a really full March. There's so much choice for everybody. I mean, and so many shows for each different type of interest that you have. So, the G Shakespeare Company, we've had them before. We love them coming to our venue. This time they're coming to bring us a new show. This is The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. I've been to see them before, and I think they're just fantastic. They're just a guaranteed good quality fun night out, and they're so clever with their interpretations and their wordplay and their visual slapstick comedy. They just have a really wonderful feel-good factor, a really broad appeal. So this is something completely new, and we're really looking forward to seeing what they do with it.
Have you ever seen the Reduced Shakespeare Company, John?
Yes, I have. I love them. Shakespeare is one of my favourite things since I was a teenager, and I think they're quite outstanding.
And he could write, of course, William. That was the important thing.
He could write a bit.
So working through that is, John, would you like to be privileged, as indeed we are in the studio, and the listener will be, to listen to another piece of Michael Blackburn authentic poetry for Inspired On Air? Because what more inspiration could you wish for? I mean, as it permeates the air, are you able to stick with us for a piece of Michael Blackburn magic?
I will be utterly delighted.
Well, then, I think, you know, we'll just sort of make sure these chaps have actually sort of done their little bit.
I'm Gary. I'm Matt.
I'm Rippy. And we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
I know, it's inspired on air, but you know, by that time, we've already reached sort of six takes, so we just hold fire on that too. Recorded, actually, in the green room at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. That was, Julie.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Anyway, are we ready, Michael?
I'll just prepare my... Hold on, prepare myself. I'm okay now, yes.
Okay.
It is a short poem, and it's related to Lincolnshire.
Bear in mind, you've got that ace science fiction literary agent online as well, so no pressure.
Yeah, okay. are you prepared down there in Rye, John?
I am, sir, I am.
Okay. This is called Water Kingdom. We pushed it back, squeezed its flow, dug ditches, dikes and drains, the 40-foots, the 20-foots, piled up the black earth to keep it contained, said, "Come in, Cornelius," to the Dutchman who measured the levels and dried them out. We alchemized this liquid world to something we could walk upon, but still it keeps on coming back, falling from heaven and bloating the becks. Drive between villages, and you'll see it now. Wide fields, water slain, silvered with new lakes.
Profound. And I think that deserves a round of applause. Come on. Yay! So does he pass the audition then, John?
My family comes from East Anglia originally, so very much aware of the Fens, the Broads and everything, and the Dutch coming in. Absolutely terrific.
Yeah. Mm. Great stuff. Georgina, a piece of poetry there, which you could probably set to dance, really, and actually have a little performance piece.
Yeah, quite possibly.
A little aspect of the internship there to work with. Have you got any questions you want to ask John Gerald, who is the go-to guru when it comes to literary agency work and publishing and so on? I mean, as you're an arts intern, this is within the broader sense of the word, or maybe you'd like to just share what you've been doing at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre?
Yeah, well, I don't really know much about this area of arts. I'm a dancer. That's what I do. I've never really explored anything else. So,
John, in those immortal words of Leonard Bones McCoy, "I'm a dancer, not an art specialist."
Damn it, Jim, I'm a dancer.
Exactly.
No, the wonderful thing about art is it takes in everything, and one tries to love everything, but there's too much out there.
But that's not a criticism, you know.
Not in any way. If
you're listening to this from the point of view of government, that is not a criticism. Just want to make that quite clear. We need
absolutely. We want more. We want more.
Exactly. Julie, any sort of questions or thoughts for yourself or John Gerald?
Gosh, I'm not really sure, to be honest. It's been caught off guard, really. I suppose because we do have someone in the room with us, Georgina, who's on a work placement, I think it would be quite interesting for any of the kind of young people out there who are listening to maybe ask you about... you know, opportunities in the industry and how people get into your sector particularly.
Yeah.
Or perhaps how you got there.
Well, basically, because I work in science fiction and fantasy, it's very different to mainstream publishing.
Mm-hmm.
I started going to science fiction conventions when I was 19, and it's the only area of literature where you can meet your heroes in terms of the authors. You can also meet publishers and agents at conventions on a regular basis. And after 15 years of doing that and 10 years of reading for publishers and agents, that's how I got into publishing. And that's what eventually led to me deciding to become an agent after I got fed up with the corporate side of publishing. So it is a very specialized area. In mainstream publishing, it's often about getting a job on a low level as a PA, as a secretary, even work experience, and then grinding it out for 5 or 6 or 7 years before anything major happens. It's not easy.
But nevertheless, very rewarding.
Absolutely.
Fantastic stuff. People can obviously go to the lincoln.ac.uk website to find out about Telefantasy and Society. They can simply go to Facebook and type in Telefantasy and Society. Will you be liking us, Julie?
Of course. In fact, you've invited me already. I'm sure I saw it this morning.
I think I have.
I just need to click that button, don't I?
Sometimes it can be... It's almost as wondrous as pressing this button here.
Hi, this is John Gerald, science fiction and fantasy literary agent, and you're listening to Siren FM.
Yeah, you see that? And he did that in one take as well. Very impressive. Just straight off that, the World Science Fiction... The 72nd World Science Fiction Convention in London last year, or as we refer to it, LONCON 3.
Right.
Yep. Man with a Thousand Voices, all embarrassingly similar.
John, fantastic touching base with yourself. Michael, any final thoughts for John Gerald before we sort of send him on his way?
I'd just say, well, Hello again, John. And which I should have done earlier. Nice to speak to you again. And we'll look forward to getting you up here again sometime soon, because you've been a number of times to talk to our students, and it's been really good. So I hope you're really enjoying living down in very literary Rye.
Yes, yes, very much. E.F. Benson, Henry James, many others, Radcliffe Hall. And, of course, it's closer to London. And because business is so good, I just needed to be closer to London, which is why I moved.
Very amazing. Yeah. And great for rolling the R's.
But it has its moments.
It does, indeed. So, as promised, Northanger Abbey is the theme for Tilney, sung by Lindsay Gold, a daughter of Sam Stone, which featured on the show a few weeks ago. I couldn't believe that, actually, Sam and David did not take Lindsay off with them to California for Gallifrey. They left her to do her degree at the University of Bolton. Unbelievable. You know, I mean, if ever there was a case of Sam and David, what are you thinking about? But anyway, this is Lindsay Gold, and it's based on the book Northanger Abbey. It's Tilney. Of course, you have met Lindsay briefly, Michael, because she was with us when we had that collection of fine folk with, of course, Sam Stone and David Howe in the atrium, where I briefly introduced you, and obviously they've forgotten about that, but that's okay. They remember you, which is the most important.
Oh, that's
thing.
Rather nice. Very,
and I think you can still actually support Lindsay's career if you go just simply go to Lindsay Gold and find her website, and you can support all sorts of other things in terms of, because astonishingly, she's produced by the drummer, or managed by the drummer from Marmalade. Yeah.
Marmalade.
Alan Whitehead. Yes. Obladi Oblada.
That's,
they were banned from the 60s.
Yes, of course. My brain is like a sieve.
That's okay. Alan Whitehead on the Midweek Drive Audio Edition on Thursday, so if you want to sort of catch up with that. Lincoln-inspired. is more than just an arts festival, as the jingle goes, quite rightly so. It's also not taking a sort of hiatus this year. It's becoming a series of pop-up events, which is exciting. It sort of paves the way to possibly becoming a twice-yearly festival and celebration. And indeed, one of the events that is going to be cross-branded with Lincoln-inspired is indeed that May the 6th Telefantasy and Society Festival. But pop-up box office is something even more exciting, or equally as exciting.
Equally.
Thank you, Julie. Exactly. Equally as exciting. And it's something that the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre have started introducing.
Yeah, tentatively. We did it last week for the first time ever, and in that kind of way where we thought, why haven't we done this before? It just seems like such an obvious thing to do. So we're doing it now. So last week we took our box office across to the atrium, which is kind of a canteen, kind of main area within the university. So there's lots of people kind of walking past, people who perhaps don't go over to...
They're scared.
They are.
They see that bridge.
I know.
Trains and things.
We're on the wrong side of the tracks. Oh. I don't know. I mean, the way that I feel about it is when I walk into the university in the morning and I walk in towards the Minerva building, so I'm on the right side of the tracks, and I look to the left and I look through the barrier and the railway and I can see our building, Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. It's right there.
Exactly.
If that railway track wasn't dissecting the campus, it would be so much more accessible and welcoming and open to people who are used to being on this side of the tracks.
The original plans, of course, called for a subterranean tunnel being built so the trains would not have actually gone through the campus, they would have gone underneath the campus.
I don't think it's too late to do that. Well, it just costs a lot of money.
It's a suggestion.
I mean, there's the English Channel. Come on, if you can do that, we can do it in Lincoln. I don't know.
It could be Mrs. Magna Carta. We've heard a lot about that. This could be the subterranean tracks.
That would be great. But in reality, that's not happening. And if it were, I imagine it would be a long way off. So we've had to think about creative ways of engaging the people who are comfortable on this side of the tracks. And perhaps because they're not used to visiting us, don't have us in the forefront of their mind, not thinking about our shows and how easy it is to book tickets. So we're like, okay, we'll come to you, which is what we've done. And it's been really well received. And it just gave an opportunity to talk to people who perhaps wouldn't have thought of us before, and they can ask us questions about the shows we've got coming on, or just a bit more about us as an organisation and what we do and who we're here for.
Finding out about the dedicated Inspired On Air shows, which are Lincoln Performing Arts Centre biased.
Yes, they are.
Michael, when was the last time you headed over to Lincoln Performing Arts Centre? Not that I want to put you on the spot here, but I just have, I suppose.
I think it was last April. To actually go in and watch something.
Yes, I think it was last April.
So I took my...
Because I passed it by on route to the library, obviously.
...to watch something, yeah. But time passes really quickly. But this programme looks really exciting as well, so I'm going to see if I can find something else and take them along.
Well, talking about exciting things you can take your children to as an excuse, basically. And I know that Sue Royce was definitely keen to follow through by getting her family to actually do some live reporting from this whole thing. I think I'm coming across... Easterville.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're really excited about Easterville.
Your vivacious voice, Ulu Zuzu Lelia.
Well remembered. Yeah, it's hard to pronounce that one.
Don't want to try it again, Michael, because you could have just sort of stepped over that. But, well, on the other hand, your vivacious voice, Ulu Zuzu Lelia.
That was very well done. I'll think about
practicing. Quite apart from Sing Along or Frozen.
I can't see it written down. So
let me turn a page for you so you can see it in the brochure. You're right, it does help to see it. I mean, to be honest, this is something which I'll hand over to Georgina because you've been a little bit quiet for a moment. So I'll get you a bit more involved.
If only to pronounce Uvu Zulu. No, you see,
have you practiced it? I have been practicing. Not quite sure I'm as good as you at saying it.
Go on.
Let's give it a go.
Ulu Zuzu Lelia.
That's all right, isn't it?
See, I do it slightly differently. I do Ulu Zuzu Lalia, but I'm not sure if there's a right or a wrong, really.
Is it tomato, tomato?
It's one of those. But also, it's that's kind of the essence of what Ulu Zuzu Lalia is all about. It is about kind of exploring sound and your voice.
Create windstorms, wolves, baby crocs, and a party with twisting and bending sounds. It sounds like one of Michael's seminars for the postgraduates. It's amazing.
Ulu Zuzu Lalia.
That's the way, isn't it?
We'll talk more about that and Three Little Pigs and a whole heap of other things after from Ulu Zuzu Zalia to Marmalade.
more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for a millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
And you can celebrate the joy of inspiration at Easterville, can't you, Georgina?
Yeah, you can.
So what sort of things are you looking for? Is it little packs? Little packs? The Gruffalo? Is it Three Little Pigs? What's floating your own particular boat about this?
I love the range of it. Mm. From Ulu Zuzu Lalia.
Nice.
keep practicing. Yeah. You can play with your voice. Then you've got Sing Along of Frozen. Mm. Again, singing, going through favourite films.
Let It Go. Let it go.
Everyone loves it. You can't deny that. But then you've got like more creative things like hands-on, like Lil Packs with the Gruffalo. Mm. Very sort of creative storytelling session. But then you've also got more traditional theatre with Three Little Pigs and puppets.
So, allowing for all this goodness, are tickets still just about available?
Yeah, we've got a few
unbelievable.
Left.
Unbelievable. I would have thought there would be a swamp town. I mean, we know that a fascinating Ada can go, but this is one I would have thought definitely would have actually gone from that. But it is ideal. I mean, Michael, would you consider taking... How old is your grandson?
Oh, he's 16. No, so.
Well, I think he'd be ideal for Lil Pax the Gruffalo, sure.
I think he's quite broad-minded, actually. He seems quite amenable to all kinds of theatrical stuff and entertainments and music and film. So, yeah.
Maybe we'll look towards Sue Royce's children, who I think are sort of 7 and 8 or around that sort of time in terms of the youth. Sort of
yeah, fashion. 7, 8 years old would be spot on, really, yeah. For some of these. I mean, especially Ulu Zuzu Lalia, or Lalia, depending how you want to pronounce it. I think that would be the ideal age range for getting enjoyment out of it. 16, not so much.
Yeah. family tickets available, 3 people, a maximum of 2 adults, £33. 4 people, maximum of 2 adults, £46. You can't say better than that for Sing Along of Frozen. Mm-hmm. For the tickets for the Ulu Zuzu, I'm not going to get it. For that one with the voice, you clearly are looking at tickets, mere snip, at £8. £8 for a full ticket and £4.50 for children.
It's really good value.
Amazing. And of course, you can also go to the website, uluzuzulalia.com. Okay, final wrap up in a few moments from now. We've still got to feature a few words from a Lincoln author, Addie Farmer, talking about a variety of other bits and pieces. But we couldn't, even though obviously the weather is improving as we sort of head into spring, Chinese New Year, etc., we couldn't let go without a little touch of Idina.
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold you back anymore. Let it go, let it go.
Let it go, let it go. I am one with the wind and sky.
projects of Lincoln Inspired, and indeed Inspired On Air, is to celebrate the best of creativity, and that goes right across the generations, right across the ages and so on. And so we're delighted to be able to welcome to the programme for the first time today, in our special February Inspired On Air, the legendary children's writer extraordinaire, who would be Addy Farmer. Addy, how are you?
Well, I'm very well. What a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
It's critical that you sort of get these things right to the fore from that point of view. Now, I'm looking at the Addy Farmer website, and I'm seeing the making of Sword, which is obviously still available, but Sword itself isn't available, you know, as yet. It's sort of lost in the mist of time, when, of course, you could have been a world superstar picking up Academy Awards if if the dimensions had taken you to a different route, perhaps.
Yeah, that was in a previous incarnation when actually my creative juices were flowing in film rather than books.
Well, but it certainly brought Addy one of our classic quotes of the day, and I think probably the series in many ways, which is from your good self, of course. I am not an alien, but sometimes I feel like one. Genius, fantastic stuff.
It's true.
But share with us, obviously you're an award-winning writer. You've picked up a whole range of things with Northern Writers Awards and so on. Granddad's Bench is just one of the sort of classic scenarios. How would you pitch your wonderful routine? Because, of course, you also have connections with the Society of Young Children's Writers.
Yes, well, I mean, I began as a children's writer a very long time ago, and that really, when we moved to Belgium, I started to look around for some organisation which could support my writing, because it's actually quite a lonely business, writing. And I came across the SCBWI, which is the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. And this was a fantastic organisation which actually encourages and supports children's writers and illustrators. And so once we moved back to this country, I actually continued with the SCBWI and set up the North, because there weren't actually that many bits of the SCBWI at that stage. So I think there was one person in the South and there was me in the North, and we started off. And I'm not saying it's all down to me, but it has grown as an organisation in this country, and now we have quite a number of groups, in fact.
Addy, you may say it's not down to your good self. I, of course, have got no such sort of routine. It is, of course, down to your good self as part of the whole package of wonderful things that really show creativity at its finest. As you mentioned, the SCWBI, the Society for Children's Writers and Book Illustrators. Clearly, not everybody is going to be picking up the kind of salary that J.K. Rowling actually sort of inspires from that point of view. But it is a very fertile field. And is it something that actually in Britain in particular, we're really ahead of the game? We kind of show the way when it comes to actually children's book writing.
Possibly. I think we do definitely have a very rich seam of children's writers in this country. And I'm not entirely sure what that's down to. It may be the fact that we're writing in English language, and that seems to be predominantly where everything is read. But no, it is a great profession, but it is, as you say, not a well-paid profession. So most people will actually be doing it for the love of it. And that's not to say one shouldn't be paid well, but it doesn't seem to be that way, I'm afraid, at the moment.
Our ace poet, and indeed one of the key folk behind the MA in Creative Writing at the University of Lincoln, Michael Blackburn, who's in the studio listening to this piece, I'm sure could be inspired by another little quote from the Things I Like section of Addy Farmer's website. Hairy guinea pigs are fantastically amusing. Again, genius. I mean, they just are. Hairy guinea pigs are fantastically amusing.
Along with chickens, hairy chickens.
Yeah, well, true, but I think the hairy guinea pig probably actually wins on the basis of the whole sort of system on that basis. And indeed, as you go on to say, guinea pigs walk, eat and speak in an amusing way. Their actual noises matter for debate. Is it a weep? Is it a snuffle? Is it a snuffle? Either way, you got to love them. You know, it's marvelous.
It's true.
So what inspires yourself, Addy? I mean, we're talking about, obviously, Inspired On Air and the sequence from that point of view. Is it hairy guinea pigs and rhubarb crumble? Is that the sort of essence to the key to success?
Well, it could be. But, no, well, really, for me, it comes from It's hugely varied, actually, because it just could be something that I read in a newspaper. It could be something that I come across in my work in a school. It could be, and what I do find is that I am inspired by landscape. And I'm particularly fond of ruins, and that does draw me in my writing for older children to probably a specific type of genre, you know, the kind of supernatural fantasy area. But with younger children, it is to do with that first experience in school, that first experience of friendship. That kind of thing. I find I have default ages when I'm writing, so it could be 14 for older children, and I tend to think like a four-year-old for the pitch book text. It's strange, but true.
Is it a case of channeling the inner child, the character that we possibly lose touch with as we become more chronologically gifted and pass through this exciting thing called life?
Yes, I think so. I don't think it's as complicated as that. I think you just sort of think about how I was as a child, because that is an interesting question about who you're writing for. And you need to have somebody or some particular age group in mind when you're writing, for sure, for children. So if you can just think that way, think your way back to when you were that age, and possibly relive those experiences and be just sympathetic or empathetic with how you felt then it's a wonderful thing. Having done it for so long now, I kind of don't have to think about it, I think.
We mentioned earlier Granddad's Bench, which is a heartwarming tale which never steps over the line, dividing love from sentimentality, appealing to young children who know about the special bond that often exists between the young and the old. Have to give a mention as well to Siddharth and Rinki, an attractive book and a warming story of a lonely child new to a cold, rainy climate who loses the precious toy elephant, presumably that's Rinki, that is his confidant.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I mean, those were inspired by, first of all, my own experience, my own relationship with my own grandfather. So that was Grandad's Bench, and then Siddharth and Rinki by a child in a school who could not speak English, and was learning to speak English, and he was animated when he found a picture of an Indian elephant. So, you know, these things, you have to kind of watch out for these things if you're going to be a writer, and you have to take these small incidents or the nuggets of these relationships and actually build on them and think how you'd express them in a way which is really interesting to the children you're writing for.
You've raised a number of key points there, which I know would actually cross over to Linden Books as well, and Jill Hart and the team there from various other factors. And it's just unbelievably sad that you can't join us in the studio at present to actually be with us for the Inspired On Air programme. But hopefully you will in the very near future.
Yes, I would love to do that. Yes, very much.
Well, that would be splendid. Addy Farmer, as I say, children's writer extraordinaire. That's what you should add to the site, children's writer extraordinaire. The line from that. And indeed Red Dwarf fan, but we talk about that another time. We salute you. Take care and speak again very soon.
Thank you so much.
From there to the bullet and the bass trombone, Thursday the 19th of February, you might just have enough time to actually visit this, mightn't you, Julie Ellerby?
Yes, that's right. So this is going to be tomorrow night in the auditorium at Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, 7:30 p.m. There are some tickets still available, so do book them quickly, and you might have a chance of getting some on the door as well. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful piece of theatre, and lots of crossover into classical contemporary music as interest as well.
Absolutely brilliant. Samantha, have you enjoyed your first experience of Inspired On Air?
Yeah.
Good.
It's been really fun, actually.
Excellent. There isn't sufficient time for us to go to Michael Blackburn to effectively ask for your comments on Addy Farmer, but inspiration strikes in every form, doesn't it? Not Michael.
It does indeed. You've got to be open to this kind of creativity.
And before we know it, we'll be actually looking at the March inspired on air back then, Julie.
Hopefully, yeah, yeah, I hope to be. It'd be great.
All fantastic. I mean, I had a chance to speak about sort of Lincoln Performing Arts material. At, well, I think Performing Arts, but Lincoln Agriculture Society. Oh, so much good stuff. As indeed there is on Siren 107.3 FM, whether you're listening on podcast or indeed live on 107.3 FM. Michael Blackburn, Julie Ellaby and Georgina Staley, thank you. If you're wondering, where was Jill Hart? We don't know. Possibly got lost, but never mind. Jill will be around. Don't forget, Linden Books hosting a whole heap of events, including Sam Stone. And, of course, May the 6th this year, the fabulous, exciting Engine Shed will be host to Telefantasy and Society. Tickets available online now. Thank you all. Can we say bye-bye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.